Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And the NFL draft is coming up. Lots of players on the Georgia Bulldogs are going to be in the mix to be drafted somewhere in the first round to the seventh round. This is not a surprise. The Georgia Bulldogs have one of the best programs in the country. So every year, teams like them and Alabama, a lot of the SEC teams especially, tend to have a lot of really good prospects. So I wanted to learn more about some of these guys because they are possibilities for the Jets. And so bringing back our friend who's been on a couple of times, always have a blast talking to him about the Falcons and the Georgia Bulldogs. He covers both for Fox 5 Atlanta. Miles Garrett, not the pass rusher, of course, but the awesome TV reporter. Miles, thanks for coming back on the show, sir.
Absolutely, Scott. How you doing?
I'm doing well, but I've also got some anxiety, Miles, because it's draft time. So you never know what the Jets are going to do. Sometimes it's predictable, and sometimes it's unpredictable. And I think this year is one of those unpredictable years. And part of that is because the Jets did a lot in free agency to shore up some holes. So now they probably have the flexibility to go best player available, whereas some people thought they might have been pigeonholed into taking a specific position. I want to talk to you about a bunch of the players on Georgia who the Jets might be looking at here in the 2024 NFL draft. And we will start with the biggest one of all, which, of course, is Brock Bowers. There's a lot of buzz about the Jets possibly being interested in Bowers, and you can see why. This is a guy who's a very different type of weapon. He's not your traditional tight end. In fact, Nate Tice had this stat, and it blew my mind. He lined up as a tight end less than 50% of the snaps at Georgia. Especially under Todd Monken, they really mixed it up with what they did with him. The Jets are in a position, as I said before, where they could go best player available. Maybe they feel that's Bowers if they stay at number 10 and he's on the board. Tell me about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost been like a broken record at this point with what Brock Bowers can do. I mean, I don't put this lightly. I do think that he is quite possibly the best tight end prospect I've ever seen. And, you know, this is coming from a guy who covers Kyle Pitts pretty frequently. I know he was billed as that guy back when he was drafted fourth overall by the Falcons. But look, I mean, Brock Bowers could very easily be on the Mount Rushmore of Georgia Bulldogs players. He is that good and has been that good for the Georgia Bulldogs during this basically the most dominant run in their history the past few years there, you know, going to back-to-back national championships. And I think just the key thing with him is just the reliability and just the ability to escape tackles. I think that's the biggest thing because it is impossible to bring him down, at least from the collegiate level and some of these SEC teams we've seen. They struggle mightily trying to get Brock Bowers to the ground, and no one's really been able to figure it out. He's a game changer. Todd Monken, I know, obviously being in Baltimore now, but back in 2022 was having him run these different plays, you know, reverse style plays where he's almost a wide receiver, you know, a fullback type role. You know, they've kind of putting him everywhere all over the field on offense. And he was one of, if not the biggest reason why that offense was so successful the past few years, just because of his versatility and his toughness.
Miles, does the fact that he's a little bit undersized concern you? You got to watch him the entire time he was at Georgia. And as you said, he really made some special plays there. And from the time he was a freshman, people were talking about him as the best tight end in the country. But you hear a lot now about shorter arms, him not being able to be useful in certain blocking situations. Where do you come down on that?
I'm not worried about it in of the slightest, just because I've seen him do it against the best teams out there. I mean, Georgia, who they played the last couple of seasons, you know, you're lining up against the best there is possibly. And he dominated, you know, whether that was Alabama, whether that was, you know, Clemson, whoever that might be, the best of the best in college football. He showed up and made the rest of those opponents basically look like, you know, Division II type guys. You know, he was doing that kind of playmaking ever since he was a freshman for that first national championship team at Georgia. So I wouldn't be concerned with that. I mean, I maybe the arm length, I think this is just a little bit of overanalyzing at this point when it comes to him. He's 6'4", you know, 240 pounds. I'm not really worried about that. He has the body of a tight end. You know, he can be used as a wide receiver. He's got the speed for a guy in the slot. So, I mean, obviously not like your prototypical slot guy that can run like a deer, but at the same time, you can just use some variety with him in your offense. And I think that's what makes him so special, is you can use him all over the field.
Miles, I want to talk about another guy who's been discussed quite a bit. And it's because he's a bit of a raw prospect and he has had some injury issues, but he is an absolute freak of nature physically. And that's Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle, 6'8", 340 pounds. And his athleticism is ridiculous for a guy that size. You've heard about him and Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma being the boom or bust type of prospects here, just based on how high the ceiling is, but also the relative floor compared to some of these other tackles. Tell me about Amarius Mims.
Yeah, the thing with Amarius Mims is definitely going to be his health, really, for lack of a better term, because you know how physically gifted he is. And when he's on the field, he's just a physical mismatch. I know, obviously, on the offensive line, you're designed to be that big. And, you know, your job is to stop the formerly the Aaron Donalds of the world, the TJ Watts. Obviously, you're trying to stop those types of talents. And he matches up really well with them just because of his size, his athletic ability. But he is coming back from tightrope surgery, like Brock Bowers was as well. So it's something that maybe he struggled with a little bit more than Brock has. The biggest question mark with him will be his health. Can he come back and be available for these teams? And will injuries be a concern for him? Because when you have a body like that, I've said this in the past, you know, with different prospects who are physical freaks, that they're kind of more prone to injuries just because there's a lot more body to hit and a lot more of you are getting kind of punished, really, from the best of the best on those defensive lines. You know, we saw what happened to a guy like Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, those physical freaks. They get hurt quite a bit because there's just more body to kind of go after a little bit. So I think Amarius Mims is no exception when it comes to that. And we obviously saw what he could do at Georgia at his peak. It's just a matter of he can kind of stay healthy and stay on the field at the next level.
Miles, the consensus seems to be that Amarius Mims is the type of player where if he stays healthy and gets the right coaches, that's the path for him. He could be a really effective player. But if he goes to the wrong coaching staff, things could go south fairly quickly. So it's really situational with him. Do you think that's probably the case?
Yeah, I mean, but I think that's the situation with just about everybody. Mm. I mean, I don't think that's limited to just Amarius Mims. I think that can be any draft prospect, quarterback, running back, wide receiver. You know, I mean, you got to be in the right situation, the right scheme. Obviously, you know, health is very subjective when it comes to a player in their history. But I do think, you know, the right situation is something that is paramount for every single draft prospect, not just offensive line.
Speaking of offensive linemen, let's talk about another offensive lineman that could be of interest to the Jets past the first round, and that is Cedric Van Pran, the center. Cedric Van Pran, about 300 pounds, 6'4", and you watch his tape and you just love everything you see. And by all accounts, seems to be a really good kid. He's the type of player that you could probably figure out a way to use him at center or guard. And the Jets have another guy like that in Joe Tippmann. So it'd be interesting to see if the Jets drafted Van Pran, what they would do there in terms of the mixing and matching. But based on what the Jets have right now, Van Pran could potentially come in and not have to play right away. Same thing with Amarius Mims, by the way, if the Jets were to trade down and draft him. Tell me about Cedric Van Pran, because I really like the idea of the Jets getting him if he's still available in the third round.
Yeah, the thing with Van Pran is I think his best quality is really his leadership. He's been kind of that captain of that offensive line unit the last couple of seasons. And I mean, you know, we've seen the types of talents that they have there on that offensive line. That for him to be kind of the leader of that group, I think speaks volumes to, you know, what he can contribute at the next level, because obviously that is something teams look into big time, really, when it comes to getting those good locker room guys, those guys that, you know, teams, the younger guys can look up to and really take a leadership role in. You know, we know his physical abilities, obviously watching him at Georgia, being the center kind of in command of the ball, obviously every single play, but he was a big time leader for this team the past couple of seasons. That was something that was very evident with our interviews with him, you know, speaking to him on a daily basis after games. He was always the guy that DJ Shockley, our main Georgia anchor and Georgia basically MC that works with us, would speak to after games, and he would be kind of the voice of the team at times. So I think one of his best traits is his leadership, and I think any team will be getting a good one in him. You know, will he be a top 2-3 round guy? I don't know. Maybe he may be a later round guy, but you know, that was basically the same case with David Andrews a few years ago, and he ended up being one of the best centers in the league. So, you know, you're definitely getting a good one when you're getting a guy from Georgia on the offensive line.
DJ Shockley, there's a blast from the past. I remember watching him at quarterback. He was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. No, it's cool to have him as my desk mate down there in the office. We talk a lot of ball.
I'm sure one of the players you guys discuss a lot, because I would bet that DJ would have loved to have had him as a weapon when he was the quarterback, is Ladd McConkey. He really turned some heads at the combine, running a lot faster than people thought he would. This is a player that at one point in time people thought might be around in that third round area. Now I'd be shocked if he slides outside the second round, and there's even the possibility of him jumping up into the back end of the first round. Really good player, and the type of guy that I think could really excel in the NFL, especially with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, who really knows how to utilize his abilities.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think he really separated himself, or at least kind of got the attention of folks at the Senior Bowl. I was there that week covering him and a host of other Georgia Bulldogs that were there that week. And he was by far, I think, the guy that raised the most eyebrows that week, because he was burning defenders left and right with just his route running, which we all knew kind of covering him at Georgia on a week-to-week basis, kind of seeing what he was able to do to those defenders every week. And it's really what it was. It wasn't his body type or anything like that. It was his route run. He is able to get in and out of breaks very, very smoothly. And I think the only question with him kind of is just really how he is after his injury. And I think he's going to be fine, because he hasn't really dealt with injuries in the past. He's not a guy that has had a lot of them throughout his career. It just kind of unfortunately happened the tail end of this past season, so he wasn't 100% there for a while. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, I think he's worked himself into second round consideration. I could see him maybe sliding into the first, as you were saying, but right now he seems firmly set in that second round area, and could do. I mean, I think the Falcons would be wise to pick up a guy like him, kind of get a good, you know, another body wide receiver in there, because he's a little bit on the shorter side, 6 feet, but his route running, I think, makes him a prime candidate for a really good number two or number three slot receiver.
Definitely a possibility for the Jets if they either trade back or trade into the second round. If they acquire a second round pick, he should certainly be on their radar. Do you think that because of his size and the way that he plays, that he's going to be pigeonholed as a slot receiver, or do you think he can be more than that in the NFL?
I think he can be more than that, but I think it's wise to not, you know, put him in there too early in his career, because as we know, the NFL obviously is an adjustment. It's different athletes that you're going up against. But I do think because of his size, because of his speed and kind of his forte per se, I think he'll start off at the slot and kind of see where he goes from there. I compare him a lot, and you know, I think this is something that, you know, people shouldn't look too much into, because I hate when draft analysts compare prospects to, like, obviously the best in business. You know, you see Caleb Williams, like, oh, he looks like Patrick Mahomes out there. I think that's unwise. But when it comes to Ladd McConkey, I see a lot of Antonio Brown in his game. Obviously not the off the field stuff, but more along the lines of his route running. And I think it's kind of similar to how Antonio Brown started his career, because I think he started sort of in that slot-ish role, kind of working in punt returns, working his way up kind of the wide receiver depth chart there, to eventually becoming that outside number one guy. So could I see Ladd doing the same? Absolutely. But I think it's wise to kind of start him there in the slot first.
Yeah, Miles, I'm with you on him not being Antonio Brown off the field. I don't think that we're going to be seeing him pulling off his shirt, waving it around, and running laps on the field in the middle of a game at MetLife Stadium the way we saw Antonio Brown in his final performance in the NFL. We went through the four major offensive prospects here for the Georgia Bulldogs, but there are three defensive prospects I wanted to ask you about. Let's start with Kamari Lassiter, the cornerback. Now, he's probably going to go higher than the Jets would use a pick on a cornerback because the Jets do have three really good cornerbacks, but two of those cornerbacks are entering into the final year of their contract, DJ Reed and Michael Carter II. So it's not like the Jets couldn't use a corner, especially for depth this year and then for the future. I'm not sure that Lassiter is an option for them, but you never know. Anything can happen in the draft. We've seen crazy things before. Tell me about Kamari Lassiter.
I think Kamari Lassiter may end up being one of the best pros out of this class from Georgia, just watching him be that shut down cornerback against some of these top receivers in the SEC. Will he be a first-round pick? I don't know. I think his 40 time may have hurt him a little bit slower compared to the other cornerbacks. But, I mean, I think you and I can both attest to the fact that the 40-yard dash doesn't really mean a whole lot in the NFL. And now it can impact, you know, where guys are drafted, but game speed and 40-yard dash time are two completely different things. And Kamari Lassiter, I think, proved it at the highest level. And this is a program that, you know, has churned out a lot of first round cornerbacks, like guys like DeAndre Baker, Tyson Campbell, all those types of guys. And Kamari Lassiter, I think, compares very, very favorably to those types of dudes as far as, you know, one-on-one coverage there as a cornerback. So I think that, you know, he's another high character guy as well. Kirby Smart has raved about him in the past. But I think Kamari Lassiter may end up being one of, if not the best pro out of this group from Georgia.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than they're worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Miles, a lot of attention on the offensive side of the ball with the Jets this offseason, with good reason. They needed a lot of help there. They've got Aaron Rodgers coming back, and they've got to make the most of the brief window they have with him and surround him with the best talent that they can. So they went out in the offseason. They made some moves. And on the defensive side of the ball, they took a big swing, too, going out and getting Hassan Reddick on the edge. But at safety, they really need some help. They're very, very thin there. It's the weakest position on the roster right now, as far as I can tell. And Georgia's got two guys that might be able to help the Jets. Let's start with the first one. Might go a little bit higher than the Jets would want to spend the pick on a safety. But again, you never know, because he could slide into that third or fourth round range. Javon Bullard, intriguing prospect.
Very intriguing prospect, and another guy who was very, very good with us as far as an interview is concerned. But as someone that I watched him and Tyke Smith at the Senior Bowl, both those guys stood out. I mean, Tyke Smith obviously was the defensive MVP of the Senior Bowl, but Javon Bullard was right there with him. I mean, he was the MVP of the Peach Bowl. He's done different things in the past. You know, I think he's right up there with Kamari Lassiter, maybe as far as what he's able to do. It's just a matter of, can he do it consistently? You know, we again, I compare it all to what I saw kind of more of a close aspect of things when it comes to the Senior Bowl, because that's where I got to see him line up and match up against some of the other prospects, not playing a game at full speed. And I really liked what I saw from him, obviously, you know, covering this team. But I do think he's a guy that probably won't go as high as, you know, maybe Kamari Lassiter, obviously, Ladd McConkey, Brock Bowers, those types of guys. But I do think he'll end up starting for some team potentially. Just, I don't know, as someone who's covered Georgia this long now and kind of seen how their players rise through depth charts in the league, I just would not be surprised to see a guy like that among basically this entire class of Georgia Bulldogs that will end up starting for some teams at some point.
You mentioned Tyke Smith, who was Javon Bullard's running mate at the safety position for Georgia. And I got to tell you, I've watched a lot of Georgia because obviously they're on TV a lot. And then you go back and you look at a lot of their prospects around draft time. He caught my eye last year and he caught my eye even more this year. Every time I watch him, I'm impressed. And then, like you said, defensive MVP at the Senior Bowl. What is it that I'm missing here that he's not getting more buzz to be a higher pick? Because a lot of people are saying he's probably going to be a fourth, fifth round pick. I'd love to see the Jets get him in that range. They do have 2 4th round picks. So if they could get him with one of those picks, that would be awesome. But I watch him and I see a guy that I think could probably be in the right defense with the right coaching, a future starter in the NFL. Am I crazy?
It might just be the fact that he was a late bloomer. I mean, he tore his ACL when he first arrived at Georgia. So it could be a reason, like maybe, you know, they're just not as much tape on him as some of these other guys that we've seen. But I mean, he made a huge impact coming back, especially this past year in 2023, where I think he had his best season. You know, I mean, he had consecutive interceptions against South Carolina and then UAB, obviously not as good of an opponent. But I mean, he was right there in that defensive backfield making plays right there with Bullard, with Lassiter, all those guys. Now, I think his Senior Bowl performance definitely boosted his stock to maybe what it was or from what it was, perhaps. But I think his biggest thing that he can offer teams is kind of the ability to play different positions there in the defensive backfield, because he's played safety. He's played a little bit of nickelback. You know, he's able to kind of do those different things that teams could, you know, obviously have a need for. You're going to have a guy go down, and to have a guy on your team that can kind of offer a role there at different positions, I think will boost his own draft stock. And I'm sure that's something that he's telling them in interviews right now.
Miles, we went through the 7 prospects that seem to be in the mix on a lot of draft boards from the University of Georgia. Anybody else that I missed that we haven't talked about yet that you think is worth discussing in terms of somebody that the Jets could have their eye on here, maybe even in the late rounds or as an undrafted free agent?
I think that Marcus Rosenmeijer-Saint, the wide receiver, will end up going a lot higher than people think. He performed really well at Pro Day, another combine guy, another Senior Bowl guy, really, that performed really well. And from what I was told from different guys there, may have improved his draft stock the most. He was a guy that was kind of looked at as maybe an undrafted free agent, maybe 6th or 7th round guy. Now I'm hearing maybe 4th or 5th round, just because of his physical attributes, what he's able to do. He was very consistent this past year for Georgia. And I think he's a guy to definitely watch out for, to maybe go a little bit higher than some other folks are thinking.
Miles Garrett, anchor, Fox 5 Atlanta, covering the Falcons and the Georgia Bulldogs. He's got his hands full this time of year because obviously a lot of Georgia Bulldogs going to be in the mix to be drafted. Falcons are going to be making moves. They pick 8th in the draft, so a lot of question marks in terms of what they're going to do. Miles, thanks so much for taking some time and talking us through the top Georgia Bulldogs prospects in this draft. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out everything you're doing, I know they can follow you on social media, but they can catch some of your features in video form on YouTube, or they go viral at times, right?
On occasion, yeah, I'll have the occasional Falcons or Georgia or Braves tweet that catches a bunch of eyeballs. But yeah, I usually post most of my work on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, on this time of day. That's Miles Garrett TV, spelled with an I, not a Y. Yeah, that's where I post most of my work, and I post a lot of it on Twitter as well, so you can find it all right there.
Make sure you check out everything that Miles is doing. Follow him on Twitter. Check out everything we're doing at playlikeajet.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes, if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. It doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.